You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
I think all of us can relate to, you know, having to work a long shift at work. Somebody didn't show up. You have to work a few extra hours. You need the overtime. The customers are giving you a headache. Your coworkers are insane. And all you got to do is like try to keep people alive, snort a bunch of illegal drugs, and steal a kidney or two. I mean, we have all been there, haven't we? I know I have.
For sure. Angela Bettis looks like she's been there for the last maybe 10, 15 years.
She is one of those actresses who is blessed with being very pretty, but also very, very thin. And depending on how she's made up and lit, can look really sickly and white trashy. And she makes that work for this character.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's something that's kind of brave because most actors want to look good. And here she really allows herself to be the least flattering version of herself. We are talking about a new movie called 12 Hour Shift. Written and directed by Bray Grant. That is an actor who may be familiar to some of you all who watched Heroes. She's also done a lot of other TV and film, but has branched into writing and directing of lately. And I, to this day, I still don't know if it's Bray or Brea, so I apologize. I assume it's Bray Grant. She's put together a small but effective cast for this tight little, what to describe it as, a gritty screwball comedy called 12 Hour Shift, about Angela Bettis' character, Mandy, who is a nurse with a drug problem, who is working on the side procuring organs from people at the hospital. She's not a good person. And into her life comes her crazy cousin, who's part of this scheme, Chloe Farnworth as Regina. She's supposed to be the person who picks up the kidney and hands it over to the gangsters who are waiting for it. But, of course, there's a problem. You know, some days you just can't find your kidneys. And, well, what do? You need to get another one. And that's when things get really, really bleak and really, really bloody and really, really funny all at once. To discuss this oddball little film, I am joined by Matt.
Hello. I'm Matt Foster from the Nighthawks podcast. Not Matt Frank, with whom I am sometimes confused.
You know, I promise we will never make that mistake. On all future reviews, every time that Matt Frank appears, we're just going to put a Godzilla yell behind him. And that way people will know who they're listening to. I'm also joined by Adrian.
Hello, I am Adrian from the OneOfUs.net podcast.
That's right.
Also definitely not Matt Frank.
Way to plug yourself. Also, we're joined by Jordan.
Yes, there's two things you need to know about me. One, I am from Arkansas, and two, I am a filmmaker within the state, which means I was not informed that there was a fucking film being made here with Mick goddamn Foley, as I am also a huge goddamn pro wrestling fan, and I missed out on my chance on meeting goddamn Cactus Jack.
Damn.
So fucking hell.
He'll be back.
Also, I actually did dig this movie.
Mick Foley always comes back.
You want to really eat your heart out? I was supposed to open for Mick Foley at a comedy club.
Oh, shit.
Damn.
And didn't get to because of the our life and times here.
I will say this is actually great. I'm here for it because this is a bit of a follow-up because I remember as I watched and reviewed You Cannot Kill David Arquette that his wife was preparing to go and produce a movie down in Arkansas, and it turned out, well, this is that movie.
Oh, that's why, okay, that was that name. She came up in the credits, and he also produced it as well, I believe.
Yeah, he did.
So, this is a sister project to You Can't Kill David Arquette.
In an odd way, it kind of is.
And very fitting, because in this movie, they can't kill David Arquette either.
No, you cannot.
Apparently, that's his new shtick. He is in a movie, and you can't kill him.
That is true. It is essentially a set over the course of one night.
Correct.
Movie.
And that gives it a lot of tension. It's not done in real time. I have to admit, I went into this a little bit cold. I vaguely knew the premise. I knew it was about a nurse on a 12-hour shift who does drugs. I thought that this was going to be some kind of gritty, real-time, one-take kind of setup where you have, like, a really intense story where you have the character trying to pull off a heist of some kind while at work. That's kind of what that is, but it goes way weirder and deeper because, obviously, murdering people to get kidneys. And then on top of that, you have the David Arquette character. He's a prisoner and handcuffed. So at one point, he looks like a good person to take a kidney from. Meanwhile, there's another guy who is in a coma related to an OD that could also be a potential donor, but has a relationship with the Mandy character.
Yeah.
And then the cops show up. I'm telling you, this is a gritty screwball comedy, but with lots of blood.
It really is, and I appreciate it on that level so much.
I was not expecting this.
I could be wrong, but I think at first the hook was she was just salvaging the organs, and it was the situation that pushed her over the line into taking somebody out for them.
Well, she does talk about she uses bleach. I could not tell you the efficacy of bleach as a form of killing someone. I know it won't cure coronavirus, no matter how much of it you inject into yourself. However, this is a movie that kind of forced me to ask, how much of this am I supposed to take seriously? Because there's things that happen in this movie that just don't seem plausible to me at all. And that was starting to bother me until they really, really leaned into the comedy. And then I realized, oh, it really doesn't matter. And for some reason, this is also set in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're at a Y2K conference.
Which apparently is a reason why there aren't as many cops in town, because apparently all the cops in Arkansas went to a conference.
For sure.
Oh, I agree. It's a fucking stretch. But one, I'm actually glad that happened, because this movie is honestly ridiculously stupid, but in all the best ways.
If you're here for strict medical science, like, they're just like throwing loose kidneys in a cooler. And then when they don't have a kidney, the guy's just like, bring me a kidney. And she's like, okay, we just got to get this guy any kidney. There wasn't like a lot of discussion of blood type, or, you know, which is like not how any of this works, but it's not really important.
Yeah. Maybe the Arkansas organ trade isn't that well organized. They're just branching out. Maybe it was a new thing for them at the time.
I can neither confirm nor deny that. What really works about this movie is it is funny in how absurd it is in what happens over these actual 12 hours. I really found myself thinking, man, this movie's kind of stupid, but yet also kind of brilliant.
I wouldn't say straight up stupid. I would just call it very tongue-in-cheek. I think I recommended this movie because if it's Angela Bettis starring in a dark comedy, I am for sure gonna see it. I want to put it out there. If you have not seen the 2002 film May that she stars in, please go out of your way to go check this out. You will be an Angela Bettis respecter, fan, adorer from that point on. And she's great in this. You know, I did comment on her appearance, but it's on purpose. Her appearance in this film tells you every single thing about the character, including the opening scene. And it works in this way that this is a very tongue-in-cheek, very silly comedy with some darkness to it. It's a silly dark comedy, and it's one that I found consistently funny, even more so than the comedy film that we watched recently. I dug this quite a lot.
It is very entertaining in that regard, and also, I'm pretty sure I have personally come across these flavor of assholes within living the state of Arkansas, especially Mikey. I can tell you, I've seen that asshole.
Is Mikey the guy who comes in like at the end?
Yeah, he's the muscle, basically. He's the henchman for the big boss.
He's the henchman, but I thought he kind of stole the show. All his lines are very funny. In the way that he, like, he's a tough guy, but you can tell this is just annoying the shit out of him that he has to go do this tonight. And it's so fucking funny the way that he delivers all these visual jokes and written jokes.
The thing that makes this work for me really is Angela Bettis. I feel like I've met people like this. If you've ever been, well, frankly, if you've ever been at a hospital at 3-4 in the morning and it's been a bad night and you turn around and you see that nurse who looks tired and haggard because you know she's been there for like 20 fucking hours straight on her feet. Who could blame her for maybe stealing a little Valium from one of the patients to get through the shift?
Let me tell you, I have met Mandy, I have met Karen, I have met Janet, I have met all of them.
This is where she's such an interesting contrast to the character of Regina, the Chloe Farnworth character, who's kind of the impetus for all of this happening. It's her mistake that she misplaces the organs, and then she takes it upon herself to go to the hospital and pressure Mandy into getting her a kidney now before bad things happen. And then she decides to take matters into her own hands and poses a nurse and creates total chaos in the hospital. Angela Bettis's character is so grounded. She looks so much like someone I've met in real life who's really struggling to get through a long day on a very tough job. And then Chloe Farnworth shows up, and she is a despicable, ditzy bimbo out of some bizarre Saturday Night Live universe where these kind of things happen. And yet it somehow works because one character is so grounded and the other is such a screwball character. They shouldn't occupy the same space. And yet once you put them together in the same space, terrible things begin to happen.
Much like with Angela Bettis as Mandy, I actually really like how the movie set up Chloe Farnworth's character of Regina within the first scene that she was in. It's almost like a comic book movie the way that they do it. Like, it's very clear exactly what type of character this is gonna be. I thought she was also really good. My only problem with her performance is that I'm at least 95% sure that she's British, because that accent would just slip in every now and then. And it made for this, I'm not sure where she's supposed to be from type accent every now and then.
You know, I have to say, I heard that and I thought she was doing a smart person accent. I thought the character was.
She is, in fact, British, but let's be fair. I've seen even American actors screw up an American Southern accent. But I kind of let it go because she's so obviously a cartoon character. She is despicable. She does more evil in this movie than a lot of actual villains do in other movies. And yet somehow it's just comical because she's such an idiot. It's clear that she's relishing the chance to play this spectacular moron.
Yeah, and her being so over the top is what actually, it kicks in and it makes Angela Bettis' character sympathetic, because she has to deal with this person that otherwise wouldn't be realistic.
And to be honest, Angela Bettis' character isn't very sympathetic to begin with. She straight up murders people who are already dying, to be fair, but she kind of facilitates the process, and then a later shift comes in and harvests the organ. We realize that this is like a 2 or 3 step process that the local mob has running to get organs, and she's part of it. But she also has another character that I really enjoyed, Nakia Gambi-Turner as Karen, who's the other night nurse who's in on the scam with her. And she starts off again playing a character who seems like a very real person. But once Chloe Farnworth enters the hospital, everybody kind of loosens up. Basically, she just turns the world into a Looney Tune caper, and all of the other actors follow suit.
Well, then the other supporting one I loved was the cop that's too nice for the job.
Yes, the Kit Williamson role. He's a complete moron.
Officer Myers.
Officer Myers. Yeah, he's like, oh, it's all right. I've got you ladies protected. I'm just staying here. And of course, they think the cops are going to leave. When Chloe does something really terrible, the cops get involved. And now on top of everything else, they have to try to pull off their scam while cops are milling about. You know, as we said earlier, the Y2K justification explains why there aren't a ton of cops in town, but they do send a couple. Maybe not their best, but they do send a couple cops as bodies begin to pile up. Even these idiot cops start thinking, wow, something's going on here. And meanwhile, you've got David Arquette, who has escaped from his hospital bed and is running about causing havoc as well. This is such a bonkers movie. We haven't even mentioned, you know, like some of the weird patients, like the lady with Alzheimer's or the man who's a hypochondriac and just keeps milling about insisting that somebody take care of him.
If you've ever spent any time in an emergency room in any sort of professional capacity, that's a real person.
Oh, it is.
There's so many things to this movie that I also kind of don't want to get into, but I feel like we should at least hint at. If you're thinking this is just a dark comedy, this does have some gore that if you're not used to it, it might be a little upsetting, but it's not really that bad. It's really creative in the way that it delivers everything, including its soundtrack.
Oh, the soundtrack's great.
The soundtrack, it's one of those that plays as a character of its own. And it's always interacting with whatever scene is going on in just the perfect way. There's even a point in this film where it kind of breaks into a musical, I think.
There's two act breaks that are musical numbers. They end before they begin, but I'm like, wait, people are singing now? Which would be fine, except another character does it. And then the next time they do it, the character isn't singing, but is actually just dancing through the halls. And I realized those are the act breaks. It is, we mentioned the score, which is like, I won't say it's hip hop, but it's got dance rhythms with opera.
Yeah.
Which makes this almost like an opera boof, you know, like a comic light opera, except it's super dark. And then you have these little musical skits. And once those start to kick in, you just realize that, okay, Angela Bettis had me thinking this was like a grounded, realistic story. But all of the other elements there are saying, no, we are in Bizarro World now. It's just real enough for you to recognize its themes and its ideas, but just tailored enough to go, okay, this is clearly a comedy. I'm not going to lie. This is the most I've wanted to see a movie in a theater since the pandemic.
Yeah.
I've seen other movies and I'm like, wow, I wish I got to see that on the big screen. I really wish I could have seen this because I think the amount of like nervous laughter that would have happened during this movie would have been great.
I mean, I don't want to go more into this film. Would y'all want to get into final thoughts?
You took the words out of my mouth because if we talk any more about it, we're going to go into spoilers. So Matt, why don't you go ahead and go first, please?
I thought this is really worthy. I'm really interested in sort of this community of performers. This is actually a nice companion piece with another movie. I really wish I knew if it was Brie or Brea, but she was also in After Midnight, which is another one that's definitely not a Hollywood movie. It's fun and weird and it mixes tones in a way that works. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 kidney or bladders.
Adrian, what's your final thoughts, please?
This movie does a lot of things where if it was any other movie, I'd probably be really annoyed by it. Yet, for some reason, it totally works here. I don't know if that's the performances or the writing, but the moment it gets into a weird type musical number, it didn't feel out of place. I felt like I was in on the joke, and I felt like the movie was in on the joke as well. This is highly entertaining. It is a little dark for people who are not used to dark comedies, but I really hope that doesn't stop anyone from watching this. Angela Bettis is back, and she's fantastic, and the rest of the cast is fantastic. Even the small cameo from David Arquette. I said in the last review that I was rooting for him, and I still am, because he's a lot of fun in this. He also has a quote that really resounded with me. I won't say it here, but watch the movie and you'll see. I dug this a lot, and I can't wait to show it to some friends. I'm going to give this 4 needles that shouldn't be going there out of 5.
Okay. And Jordan?
I really found myself enjoying this movie more than I didn't. In all honesty, it was so batshit insane that I really found myself having a good time. I will say, yeah, Angela Bettis as Mandy, absolute standout performance. She is just incredible. And this movie is honestly just a fun watch. It's easy. I mean, it's only like, what, 97 minutes? 87 minutes? You know, somewhere around there. So it'll be an easy watch to get through. But it is such a well-structured, tightened, perfectly put together movie that I really can't recommend it enough for both the best and worst reasons, since there are characters that you think, oh, fuck this, and there are some decisions that make you go, oh, what the hell? But honestly, this movie is well worth it. So I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 obvious Surge soda cans.
Well, you know, Jordan, you took the words out of my mouth. Batshit insane is the right word to describe this movie. It masters these two different tones that whenever other people try to do it, don't always pull it off. But Brea Grant, as the writer and director, she manages to pull off these tricky tones. And I've seen a lot of better known directors fail to make that work. And here she does. And it's really impressive. And all of it is anchored by a very solid, very well realized performance from Angela Bettis. I honestly thought that this was going to be some, you know, hard hitting expose of people in the medical community in the midst of the opioid crisis think piece mixed in with a little bit of genre. But no, it's got those elements, but then it just goes flat out into black comedy and slapstick comedy as well. I mean, there are literally people slipping, bursting in and out of doors, mistaken identities, crisscrossing across the screen. None of this should work. It should be a fucking mess, and all of the characters are despicable. I should hate all of them. And yet, I found myself extremely entertained and would highly recommend this. This is one of those films that I think we're going to be recommending to friends over the years. Like, hey, I know this isn't on everybody's radar, but you should watch this. This is really an exceptional entry into this. I don't know what genre you would call it, but whatever it is, I'm really glad I saw it. I give this 9 out of 10 kidneys that ended up turning out to be bladders after all. And on that note, I think I'm going to go and abuse my kidneys a little bit more. I took a long nap now, so it's Miller time over here at the Noyola household. How you guys doing?
Well, if you guys want to stick around, I want to start the first ever One of Us Angela Bettis fan clubs, where I will just speak about her movies and how much I like them, and you guys can listen.
No, I'm just going to bitch about how I didn't get to meet Mick goddamn Foley.
Look, it doesn't matter. Anybody can join the oneofus.net fan club. You just have to pay with a kidney.
Ah, kidneys are cheap.